Greetings once again, friends and neighbors, strangers, unknowns, uncertains, enemies, even we welcome all to the daily respite. This is Pastor Bob, and it's a Monday, the last Monday of September, Monday, September 27th, and it's, drum roll please, episode 50 of this Daily Respite series. And hey, to celebrate our 50th episode in the week going forward, we're going to turn to Holly Wharton this week. You're in for a real treat if you are kind of new listening or haven't been following closely. But for the regulars, you know this is a special week. Holly Wharton's wonderful book, If Trees Could Talk, Life Lessons from the Wisdom of the Woods. And of course, each day, Holly Wharton is going to introduce us to a tree, a very specific tree, an actual tree, that she has met and sat with and listened to. And she will share us those recordings. She actually records them on her phone as the tree talks to her. Go figure that. Go try that one time. I might try that now that I'm bringing it up. Well, today, let's get started. Amen. We're ready for some devotion, some respite, some little time with God here just to kind of revive and renew and refresh and resurrect. So today we're going to start at the very beginning of her book with the first tree that's featured in her book. It's called Lone Oak, the Lone Oak. So I'll read a little background on this tree from Holly, and then we'll listen to the tree itself. And when trees talk, it could take a while, but it's worth every bit of it, I trust. I promise you that. You'll enjoy it. Let's just get lost in this excursion, right? Here's Holly Wharton. I was first drawn to this lone tree when I was walking through the woods by myself one afternoon. I had put together a route for the local walking group that I had ran, and I was trying it out myself to see if I needed to make any adjustments before taking a group of people on the trail. This particular part of the route traversed a commercial forest, something that always made me feel a bit uncomfortable. As I mentioned in the introduction, I had been walking in this area before, the woods between Cold Harbor and Homewood, and this part of the forest always felt off, as if something weren't quite right with the energy of the place. It felt devoid of wildlife, and it was missing the happy bird song that I often heard in nearby native forests. As I walked down the wide, smooth path, I looked all around on both sides of the trail, and I suddenly felt drawn to something on my right, as if my gaze were being held by a magnet located away from the trail and into the woods. And then I saw him. The lone tree. A majestic, ancient tree. His trunk gnarled and knotted. At first glance, he looked to be dead. But as I carefully made my way off the main trail and through the undergrowth, I could see small branches with green foliage on them, high up above. I gingerly picked my way towards him, zigzagging left and right, stepping over fallen branches from other trees, until I arrived at the base of the lone oak. He was an imposing figure, standing out in a forest of evergreens. Old, wise. It was a miracle that he had been allowed to remain here on his own amongst a sea of western hemlocks. I picked my way through the wood until I reached the base of his trunk. I pulled off my backpack, setting it on the ground near the oak, and I put my hat, gloves, and neck warmer before sitting down next to him. My body was still warm from the walk, but I knew I would soon feel a chill as I settled in to receive his story, and I wanted to prepare for this in advance. I touched his trunk with both hands and rested my forehead against his trunk. It was not quite a hug. It was a customary ritual for greeting trees at this time. And then he spoke. Once upon a time, this was a natural forest, a native forest, a forest of mixed evergreens and deciduous trees. And we all lived in peace and quiet and silence. It was a kind of natural harmony. There were local people here in this area, people who would occasionally walk through this forest down the trails that you see today. And sometimes one would stop and have a meal underneath my boughs. They would rest up against my trunk and then they would move on. This was a peaceful wood. It is no longer so. Now you hear the roar of the chainsaw off in the distance. That sound came to us, and my friends, my family, were cut down to make way for an evergreen forest. Not a forest, really, but a plantation of trees, a colony of trees, made up of just one kind of tree. For some reason, they let me stay. They cut down the trees all around me, my network, my family, and planted these evergreens, the ancestors of those which you see today. The diversity of our community was gone. I did not begrudge my new neighbors. It was not their fault. It was not their hand that cut the native forest. And they are beautiful, as all trees are. Green all year round, lush undergrowth, tiny trees at the base and straight, naked trunks. It is a pleasant view. Although I miss my friends from long ago, I understand that your culture may need these trees, may need these products, and may need this work to be carried out. It feels unnatural, though. They grow so straight that it saddens me, because this is not a forest. It is simply a field of trees, a hillside of trees. You may hear a pheasant off in the distance, smaller birds chirping up high. There is life here, but not like there used to be. People often say that if the trees could talk, what stories they'd tell. And we have stories. We do have stories. Humans want things to happen quickly. But in the world of the trees, life is slow. Life is long. At least for those of us who are natural trees, native trees. The ones who have been planted here will be harvested, just like another crop, as if they were a field of wheat or oats or rye. They will be gone, and the field will be empty until new trees are planted. It is slow, and it is long, and it is a peaceful process until harvest time comes again. And every time they come to cut the trees, I fear that I will be included, that I will be seen as a nuisance, or that I will be struck by one of the falling trees and damaged, and so then they'll decide to take me out too. Life just isn't what it was back then, back when this was a native forest. I'm aware that perhaps this was not the story that you wanted to hear. Perhaps you wanted something quaint and pretty, something heartwarming or something funny. other trees will have those stories for you, not I. For I cannot forget my friends, my family, and my network. I cannot deny the fact that I am one of a kind here in this field of trees, up here on the hillside, alone, yet not alone, surrounded by trees that are not like me. You may not want to include my story in your book at all. You may not want to put it at the beginning as one of the first stories, even though I am the first tree that you are talking to. Mine is not a lighthearted tale, and yet this story needs to be told. People know about commercial forests, as they call them. People know about these fields of trees, not native, and yet they have not heard the story from the tree's perspective. People walk down these paths and they say, "How beautiful, an evergreen forest." And they might even see me as they look off to the side, down the path, and notice that I am different. They might be surprised that I am one of a kind, but most do not even look. Most of the people who walk through this field of trees in these times, they keep their eyes on the path, chatting amongst themselves, having their own conversations, deeply engaged with each other and not really connecting with the world around them, with the path, with what lies on both sides of the path, with the trees, the birds. Birds are simply background noise to them, a pretty song. Or they might not even hear the birds, so engrossed they may be in their conversations. But if they were to stop and sit on a fallen log with their back up against a tree and close their eyes, they could hear the life that is in the woods. The little birds chirping, the pheasants getting startled by something, the slight hum of the cars off in the distance. There are no roads through here, but we can hear your vehicles. It's like a hum that never ends. Your airplanes flying above, mingled with the pheasants calling out to each other, the rustling of the leaves, the fronds of the evergreens as the wind blows a little bit. They might open their eyes and see the blue sky and the white clouds just barely visible in between the branches of the evergreens up above. But to see all these things and to hear all these things, it's necessary to stop, to sit, to be still, to experience the woods, to experience this field of trees, as I call it. For there is so much here, so much going on. If only you would stop and sit and allow your ears to open up to the sounds and your eyes to look all around you and take in what appears to be a very still, very quiet place. This is experiencing the woods. This is experiencing the forest. And yet, most people simply walk on by, walk down the trail, walk down the path. This trail is simply a means to get to their destination. And yet the journey in itself has so much. It has so much to offer. And so, I would like to suggest to those who hear my story, the next time they find themselves out in the woods, or even in a park, the next time they find themselves outdoors in nature, to sit and to be still and to take in the sounds, both human-made and nature-made. The roar of an airplane overhead can feel so jarring, but it is part of this world that we are in today. A world that did not exist when I first came to be, but it is the world we are in right now. Trees, birds, leaves, sit and be still and pay attention. Open your ears. Now open your eyes. This is experiencing nature with all your senses. Reach out and touch a leaf, a branch, the ground, the soil, the earth, the bark of a tree. We love being touched. We love it when people make contact with us. We like to engage. We like to interact. We must wait for you to come to us. And it is so rarely that it happens. We should be used to it by now, but still, it surprises us. In the same way that two humans would like a hug, or a dog or a cat would like to be stroked, we too like contact. Touch. Feel the texture of our bark and say hello as you walk by. Not to every tree in the forest, we don't expect that. But we are all individuals just as you are. We all have personalities, although you cannot usually tell this if you are just walking quickly through the woods. We each have a life. We are each a living being. Though we do not have a face, though we do not talk with voices out loud like you do, we are all individuals just as you are, and we long for connection, interaction, not just among ourselves, but with you, people. If you were to speak with each of the trees in this tree field, or in a forest, in a wood, you would get different stories. You would get different voices. You would get different personalities. People look at a forest, especially a commercial forest like this, a tree field, and they think that all the trees are the same. I am different, of course, to the human eye. But my neighbors look like copies of the same tree, though they are each living individuals, each with a voice, each with a story. These, my neighbors, are young, unlike me, but they have stories, they have voices, and they are each as unique as each of you humans, although they may look similar. Although they may even look the same to you. This is what I wish to share with you. There is diversity in sameness. Even if we look the same, we are different. Some trees would look at humans and say they all look the same, but you know that you do not. You are not the same. You are different. Just as we are. Ah, now you are cold. It is time for you to go. You can always come back for more. That is all.